Take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse 15 and we'll read down through the end of the chapter, down through verse 23. Romans chapter 6, we've been going through the book of Romans. We've been calling this series Answers. Paul asks a lot of questions as he teaches. And then he gives the answers. And so we've been asking questions and finding answers in Scripture. And it's good to have answers to all the questions that we have. And I'm glad the Word of God provides answers for us as we go through our life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning that we can have the Word of God. We're thankful that you have provided that for us and the opportunity that we have to study and to learn this morning. And we ask for the working of your Holy Spirit in the hearts of each person that's here this morning. We understand that we need you to teach us, we need you to change us, and we pray you would do the work that only you can do, and we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Recently, I've been playing around with Google's AI image generator, and it's a pretty neat thing. It's so you can go to that website, and you input your prompts, right? You describe the sort of image that you're looking for, and then you hit generate, and it'll generate several images based on the descriptions that you gave it. In fact, the VBS card, the flyer, the image on the front, that's AI generated. I did that through Google. And I think I typed in astronaut looking at a distant planet, photorealistic, you know, or it was something like that. And I went through multiple different iterations of it, changing the prompts slightly to kind of get what you're looking for. But it's really neat. You just type in your description. The other day I typed in man mowing the grass on the moon, just for fun. I was bored. You know, and it didn't quite do exactly what I wanted. It showed a guy weed whacking on the moon. That's not what I asked for, Google, but you know, it was close enough, I guess. But it's interesting because you put in these descriptions and then it takes it and it gives you the result. It gives you several different images. But then you can look at that and you can choose to edit it, where it gives you a tool where you can select part of that image, and then you can type in, okay, change it to this, right? Change it to to look in a different way. And based upon the new prompts that you put in, it'll adjust the photo for you. But it's all this process of you putting something into it and then it producing a result based upon that. And if you don't like the results, then you change the inputs, and the results are determined by what you put into it. And in that, there's a biblical principle. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17, where it says this: even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Right? Good tree brings forth good fruit. The results come from what is put into it, right? The input determines what comes out from that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. There's a direct correlation between the what is produced and what has been put into that. Right? They're connected. He said, you don't have a bad tree that brings forth good fruit. You don't have a good tree that brings forth bad fruit. And he says, you can look at the fruit and tell what the tree is based on that fruit. And so in the book of Romans, especially in Romans chapter 6, Paul has been talking about our service to sin versus service to righteousness. He's talked about how we used to serve sin, but now we serve righteousness, and that change that's taken place. But in the end of the chapter, the verses that we read, his focus is directed to the results of our service. It's what has come from our service to sin and also what is coming from our service to righteousness. And so the question this morning, it's a question of results. And the question is this: what will our service produce? As we look at our life, whether our past or our present, what is our service producing? What will our service produce? And I think on this, we can be somewhat biased when we look at our life. I mean, that's no surprise. We're very biased when it comes to our life. Baptist Bible Academy, we do a fine arts competition in the spring. And so the kids do artwork and they prepare their like musical performances, singing or piano or all these different ones. And then we get there to the day of the competition and we're very confident. We look at our artwork and go, no way that doesn't win, right? That photograph, it's the best one here. That drawing it's gotta win, right? And we listen to the performances and we're like, you got it. Yeah, that's a gold medal. Well, you know, it's a trophy or whatever, ribbon, right? And we're looking at him going, there's no way we're not going to win. We're just so confident on what our results are going to be. And that's because we're biased. And then, you know, the competition goes along and we're like, oh, okay, third place, not bad, you know. We're pretty sure we're going to get first place, but we'll be happy with third place. Then you get the judges' sheets back and you have unbiased judges who look at what you put into it and they said, okay, these are how we are judging this. And they give some real honest feedback, which is very helpful, right? We take it and we go, okay, this is what we're going to do next year and how we're going to change. But it's great to have that honest feedback because we look at it and go, that was great. No mistakes. That was perfect. Or only a couple mistakes or whatever. But we need that real honest feedback on our lives. That's what God gives to us, right? He's very honest with us and upfront about who we are. We need that sort of unbiased judgment and unbiased decision on who we are and what we're doing. So this morning, we need to hear what God says about our service and what it's going to produce. So it starts with this principle. If we look in verse 16, here's the principle that we need to start with. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The principle is, who you serve determines what you will produce. Who you serve determines what you will produce. And that makes sense, right? If you work at Arby's, you know you're going to produce some high-quality, top-of-the-line roast beef sandwiches, right, at a premium price. Or actually, not a premium price, but a great price, great value. You work at McDonald's, you produce Big Macs, right? And so you understand that who you serve determines what you're going to produce. There are two spiritual options for our service that Paul's talked about. There is service to sin and there's service to righteousness. Which one you serve determines what you're going to produce from that. That's the principle where he starts. And so he ends verse 16 with, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you going to serve? What are you going to serve with your life? And then what's going to come from that? What is that service going to produce? And let's start with the products of service to sin. We're going to have 2 points. Here's the first one, the products of service to sin. So let's look down in verse 19. Verse 19, the first part. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. All right, he's talking to believers and he's saying, this is your past, you used to serve sin. He said, you used to serve uncleanness. You yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. The idea of iniquity unto iniquity is like sin on top of sin on top of sin. He said, you piled it on, right? You just kept producing sin in your life. That's what you served over and over. And he says, your life was sin from top to bottom, right? Everything was sin. There was no righteousness. And he says, this is what it produced. Look in verse 20. Here's the first product. He says, when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. It produced freedom from righteousness, which seems pretty obvious, right? That if you are sinning, you are free from righteousness. It's just kind of like, it's like a synonym for sin, right? Sin is being free from righteousness. But like, there's enormous consequences to this, and there's a reason he describes it as that you are free from righteousness. Righteousness is, it's important. It's a very important quality to have, because righteousness is a requirement for heaven. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said that except your righteousnesses shall exceed the righteousnesses of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 25, 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. God only allows those who are perfectly righteous into heaven, right? That's his criteria. He says, if you are less than righteous, you are not getting into heaven. Only those that are entirely perfectly righteous are allowed into heaven. So you need righteousness to get into heaven. And Paul says, well, your service to sin made you free from righteousness. You were free from righteousness. You had no righteousness. It almost sounds sarcastic when he says you're free from righteousness. It's like me seeing you with a box of donuts and saying, hey, let me help you free you from those donuts. You know, or you're like, your bank account's too full. I'll help you out with that. I'll free you from a full bank account. You know, you go, oh yeah, free from righteousness. But what he's saying is that they had absolutely no righteousness in and of themselves. Their service to sin in the past, before salvation, made them entirely free. There was nothing in their life that was righteous. Now, there's a lot of people that are not saved that go through life thinking that they are at least partly full of righteousness, at least more full of righteousness than they are of sin, and they're thinking that that righteousness is enough to overcome their sin. But Paul says that's not what service to sin does. Service to sin makes you entirely free from righteousness. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. That's what service to sin did. It made it so there is no chance for you to get into heaven in that condition. You were entirely free from righteousness, because without Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness. So Paul says service to sin, you know what it produced? It produced freedom from righteousness. You had no righteousness. Here's what else it produced. Look at verse 21. The first part of verse 21. He says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Service to sin produces shame. Somewhere I have a picture of me from when I was in kindergarten, and it was puppet day in kindergarten. So it's like a class photo kind of. We're up in the front of the classroom, and me with all my kindergarten friends, and we all have our puppets on, but I'm wearing some very unusual clothing. I'm wearing like sweatpants, and they were the kinds that like had elastic around the legs, or around the ankles. So I'm wearing that, and then I have like a polo shirt on with that, and then I have a suit coat on. So, and then I've got a yellow duck puppet on my hand. So this is me in this photo, and I remember looking at this photo and showing my mom and go, why did you dress me like this? You know what she said? She said, you wanted to. She said, you picked out these clothing. I didn't dress you that way. And you know, there's times in our life where you look back and you go, why did I do that? You know, like what was going through my mind as a kindergartner? It was like, I look pretty good. I've got like my comfortable pants on, and I'm dressed for church on the top, you know. And I've got my favorite puppet, you know? But you look back at times and you go, what was I thinking? Like, what was going through my mind? And you look at it and because now you know better, right? You've gotten to a point where you know more now, and you go, that wasn't a great decision that I made. Paul is writing to believers who now know better, who know better than to do what they did back then. And he says, you look back and we're ashamed of those things. We're ashamed of what we gave our life to, what we gave our time to, of what we were worshiping and what we were trying to do. We look back and go, that was a mistake. That was a horrible mistake that I made. And at some point, everybody is going to come to this understanding of what they have done. Maybe it's somebody who comes to that understanding through the Word of God in this life, and they recognize their sin. And they look back and say, I never should have done that. I shouldn't have given my life to that. I shouldn't have served sin in that way. Right? And maybe it's in this life that they come to that recognition through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. Others are going to recognize that sinfulness when they stand before the Lord in judgment. And in that day, they're going to find the shame as they look back on what they had done and their wickedness and their uncleanness and the iniquity upon iniquity that they had in their life. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, but he says also some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's what service to sin brings. It always brings shame. It brings regret for the choices and the decisions that we have made. But then he has one more point that he's going to make in the end of verse 21. And this is the end of service to sin. He says in the end of verse 21 that the end of those things is death. And then he says in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Service to sin always ends in death. That's the end result. That's always where it leads. James chapter 1 and verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, it's been this way from the beginning, hasn't it? We go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and we see God's command in the garden, and he says, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And it has always been that way. The service to sin ends in death. One of the deaths that the Bible speaks of is physical death, that moment when you breathe your last breath on this earth. And before sin was in the world, there was no death. And then when sin entered, Paul says that death came by sin. And now death is everywhere we look. We, you know, they talk about global warming and all of that, and we talk about animals going extinct, and we see the effects of sin on creation. And then we understand that our own mortality is part of that. And we feel our own mortality and the fact that we're getting old, you know, and things aren't working the way they used to, and all of that sort of thing. We see the death that is there because of sin. That is always the end result of sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. But then it says, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment of God. And at that judgment, every unrighteous person, every person that is free from righteousness, will not only experience physical death, but they'll also experience what the Bible calls second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8 describes it. It says, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death is eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. And Paul says this is where service to sin is bringing the people that serve sin. It ends with eternal separation from God. Service to sin brings freedom from righteousness. It brings shame and regret. And then it brings death. That is the pipeline of service to sin. That's what it's doing. That's where it's bringing every person that serves sin with their life. And this result, once it gets there, once it gets to the end, it's permanent. It's an unchanging result when it gets to death. I tell my kids that you get to control your choices, but you don't always get to control the consequences of your choices. And in this life, God has given us the freedom to choose, but there's consequences to the choices that we make. And Paul walks them through this. He says, you served sin. And he says the results were freedom from righteousness. The results were shame. And he says, and if you had continued on that path, it would have ended with death. And then an eternity in hell separated from God. That's what service to sin produces. But then we look in verse 17. I'm thankful for this verse. Because he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. He says, I'm thankful that there was this moment in time where you chose to, as he says, to obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. He says that there was a moment when you trusted in Jesus Christ and were saved. Now, we don't normally use this wording for salvation. We don't talk about usually like saying someone is saved by their obedience. What he's saying is that you obeyed the doctrine that we delivered you, and that doctrine is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What he's saying is, we told you the gospel, and the gospel was, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be saved. If you recognize your sinfulness, understand what Jesus Christ did for you, and trust in him for your salvation, you'll be saved. And he's basically saying, you did that. You obeyed those instructions. You obeyed the instruction to believe in Jesus Christ, and you were saved. And he says, you changed. He says, you were the servants of sin, but then you were made free from sin. And in verse 18, he says, you became the servants of righteousness. He says, you used to serve sin. And he said, you know what came from that. And he says, but now you have become the servants of righteousness. That first step of obedience, obeying the gospel, changes our service. How about you this morning? Have you ever just obeyed the gospel? If I were a multi-billion dollar corporation, I might tell you, just do it. You know, use that slogan. But you know what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you've heard the gospel, why haven't you just believed it? Why haven't you just made that decision to trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation? He changes your service to sin into service to righteousness. And Paul says, here's the results. Here's what the product of service to righteousness brings about. So service to sin, the product of service to sin, but now the product of service to righteousness. Look in verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You are changed. You're different than you used to be. You now serve God in righteousness, and therefore the product of your service also changes. So he says in verse 22 that the product is you have your fruit unto holiness. The product of service to righteousness is holiness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Holiness is a way of living that grows out of a way of being, right? It starts with who we are and who God has made us to be. Matthew 7, as we read earlier, verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, right? Good fruit is because the tree has been made good. We've been changed by Jesus Christ. Therefore, holiness comes from that. And Paul has talked about how there was the old man that was in us that served sin, and now there is the new man that's been given to us. That new man is made to resemble the divine image. We're made to look like Jesus Christ. Also within us is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of holiness. So the tree has been recreated in righteousness and true holiness. And Paul says, therefore, the fruit that comes from that is also holiness. If holiness within is being made to look like Jesus Christ in our soul, then holiness without is being made to act like Jesus Christ. If we're made to be like Christ on the inside, it will come out in all the things that we do and the things that we say. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We're familiar with these, with this list here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This list, as you go through this list, all of these are found in Jesus Christ. Right? We see him in his life as he was on earth, as he went about doing good. This was Jesus Christ. Right? This list is a description of who Jesus Christ was when he was on earth. Right? As he showed God the Father to us in his life. So then, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, this is the fruit of that. This is the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We've been changed, and the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. So if we then yield to the Spirit of Christ, this is what he's going to produce. This is holiness. This is Christ-likeness. It's us living in this way with love, with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with gentleness, with goodness, with faith, with meekness, and with temperance. That is a holy life. This is the fruit of our service to God, our service to righteousness. This is what God is going to produce in our life. Holiness means that our actions will look like Christ did, and our words will be like his words. It's because the fruit is consistent with the tree. If it's a good tree, it's going to bring forth good fruit. If we've been changed, it's going to bring about a change in how we live our life. So Paul in Romans chapter 6, he says that you have your fruit now in the end of verse 22 unto holiness. But then he says what the end is. He talked about the end of our service to sin. But he says in the end of verse 22 that the end of your service to righteousness is everlasting life. Everlasting life. I probably say this every single time, but eternal life. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it's not just talking about the quantity of eternal life. We get that from the word eternal, but it's also talking about the quality of eternal life, right? The quality of that life in heaven. Would you be excited if you learned that you won a contest that said you got a lifetime supply of something? Well, it would depend, right? What did I just win, right? What is his lifetime supply? A lifetime supply of, like, chocolate? Definitely, right? We're on board with that, yeah. I'll take a lifetime supply. And if you don't want it, I see some people shaking your head. If you don't want it, I'll take it. lifetime supply of dog food. I mean, if you have a dog, yeah, right? Like, if you have a dog, that's great. But if you don't have a dog, you're like, what am I going to do with this? I'm just going to, like, pile it somewhere. What about a lifetime supply of mice? I don't think anybody wants those, right? We're putting out trash trying to get rid of them, right? It depends on what it is, right? The quality really matters if we want a lifetime supply of it. Eternal life, it's a lifetime supply of joy. That's what the Bible says. It says in Revelation chapter 22 or 21, verse 4, that God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. A lifetime supply of rejoicing and joyfulness because God is going to take all that sorrow and wipe it all away. We will rejoice for all eternity. I'll take a lifetime supply of joy. I'd take that. It's also a lifetime supply of the presence of God. Revelation 22 says that his servants shall serve him and they shall see his face. A lifetime supply of being close with Jesus Christ. And you know, we spend this life as Christians trying to draw closer to the Lord, and we struggle with sin and our own flesh that constantly fights us with that, and we're constantly trying to get sin out of the way and get it forgiven so that we can draw closer to the Lord. Heaven is a lifetime supply of being close to Jesus Christ and being in that. We're going to see him, for we shall be like him. Right? And we shall see him as he is, and we look forward to that aspect of heaven. Heaven is also a lifetime supply of all the rest of the wonders of heaven. I just kind of grouped it all together. Take too long to go through all of that. But you read, like, the end of the book of Revelation, And there's just so much that God pours out on his children for eternity. And Paul says, when you got changed, when you went from being a servant of sin to a servant of righteousness, when that changed, he says the end of that change is everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God has given to us by our salvation. That's the end of a life of service to righteousness. That's what our salvation brings. So the products of service to sin and the products of service to righteousness. Have any of you read the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey? Yeah, it's a pretty popular book. So he lists, like, he goes through a lot of stuff in that book, but like the seven habits, and he has the first habit that he puts is to be proactive. And he says it's taking responsibility for your life and actions and focusing on what you can control rather than what you can't. So he says what you have to do is you have to, like, just take a step in the right direction, right? Take some action that you know will take you in the direction that you want to go, but kind of just, like, we can get stuck, like, not doing anything and, like, thinking, oh, this needs to change and this needs to happen. And he's like, all right, do something, right? Like, be proactive, make a choice and do something. So that's the first habit. Start doing something. Second habit, he says, is you need to begin with the end in mind. Know the result that you're looking for. Know where you want to end up. Know what the goal is. And, you know, that's the principles that Paul is talking about. He's saying, what is your service going to produce? Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, if we read that verse again. Right in the middle, he says, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Those two habits, they're summed up in that verse. Be proactive. Like, what are you doing? And then begin with the end in mind. What do you want to produce? What is it that we're wanting to produce in our life? With the choices that we're making, the things that we're doing, what's going to come from that? What's the result going to be? We can't live one way and expect the results to be different than the way that we're living. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. One more verse this morning. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What do we want to produce in our life? Because if we're choosing to serve sin, then we know what's going to come from that. And we can't be deceived, because whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. If you're sowing service to sin, then it's going to bring freedom from righteousness. It's going to bring shame. And in the end, it brings death. But if we serve God, if we serve righteousness, then the Bible says we will reap what comes from that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But sometimes as Christians, as people who have chosen to serve Jesus Christ and are struggling to do that and doing that through the strength of Jesus Christ day by day, sometimes we do, as the Bible says, we get weary in well-doing. And we look at our life and we say, is it worth it? The struggles that I go through and how difficult it is sometimes, and the persecution, in a sense, that we endure, whether it's from our own flesh or from people around us who make fun of us for what we're doing, or the society that looks down on Christianity and on all things about God. And we look at it and go, is it really worth it? Because sometimes it seems like it'd be a lot easier if we just didn't, right? If we just gave in different ways, because the struggle is there. Is it worth it for us? And then we understand what the Bible says. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Bible says God's not going to forget. And whatever you sow, you are going to reap. Therefore, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Romans chapter 6 lays out a choice for us. What are we going to do with our life? What are we going to serve? And it says, okay, but here's what you need to know. Whatever you choose, here's the results that come from that. Here's what's going to be produced if you serve sin. Here's what you will produce if you serve righteousness. And then he says, which one are you going to choose? And even as Christians, we have a choice, because we can still go back, like we've talked about, try and live in the past and try and serve sin again. And it'll never bring an eternity in hell because we've been saved, but it can bring shame. It can bring regret. It can bring the effects of sin in this life. And, you know, it could be that there will come a day where we'll look back and we'll look at the times as Christians where we served sin and go, why did I do that? Why did I waste my time like that? Why did I spend so much of the time that God gave me serving sin, doing things I knew weren't right, doing things that I knew were a waste of time? We'll look back one day and go, why did I do that? But the opposite is also true, that if we serve God and we serve righteousness, we'll look back one day and go, you know what? I'm glad I did. It was hard. And there were times I didn't want to. And there were times it was a struggle. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I served righteousness. I'm glad I gave my life to God and served him. Because God is not unrighteous to forget what we've done for him. And he's told us that if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful for what you've done for us. We're thankful for our salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone here today that is still in their sin, that they've never trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation, we pray that this morning they would make the decision to simply put their faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know what you've said in your word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we pray that you would work in people's hearts this morning. Lord, for the believer that is here, and Lord, we've trusted in you. We've become servants to righteousness. Lord, just remind us that one day it'll be worth it all, and that you have promised that we will reap what we have sown. Help us to sow to the Spirit. Help us to sow righteousness in this life. And Lord, may you be glorified. May you be pleased in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.